Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my 3 decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba.
Episode 29 of Lean 911. My name is Mark DeLuzio, and I am bringing back once again one of our managing directors, Kevin Mathis. And he, Kevin and I worked early on in Danaher, in the development of the Danaher Business System. And we just did an episode earlier with Kevin on mixed model production and how to do that. And we are going to be talking today about why it is important to learn under the direction of a lean sensei. And Kevin has some thoughts about that, and so do I. So we're going to get into that. Why do you need a lean sensei? And Kevin, you want to kind of open it up a bit?
Yeah, sir. I think that what was interesting to me about even doing this topic and talking about this is, as I read what people are posting, I read blogs, I've been talking with current clients and prospective clients and things like that over time. What you always hear is, we know everything we need to know, right? Which I was thinking about that, and I've been studying Lean for a long time, since the late 80s, as a Kaizen promotion office and facilitator, as an operator, as a leader, as a business leader, as a coach. And what I thought about was, I learn every single day and every single time I'm thinking about Lean and reading about Lean and reading about working on implementations and working with clients. And I thought, well, how can someone know everything that they need to know, right? Because certainly I must be not be thinking about that right. And then I thought about, well, it's kind of interesting because the U.S. Open golf tournament just took place, and you think about the top players in the world, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, who just won. They all have one thing in common. They all have swing coaches, golf coaches, teaching them the golf game every single day, right? So I think there's a lesson to be learned there about how can a coach help us get better every single day and help us perform better in a lean transformation.
And these guys are not golfers like, well, I won't put you in my category, like me, because right, exactly. It's not one of my best attributes. So it's not like it's really easy to say Mark DeLuzio needs a lean coach. I'm a golf coach. But these are the best in the world, Kevin, right?
They are. They're the best in the world. And they're trying to get better every single day, and they're looking for that feedback from a sensei that can help them objectively look at their swing,
right,
change their swing, perform better with their swing, hit the ball where they want to go, learn new techniques, think about their swing differently. So that coach is able to help even a player like Scottie Scheffler get better every single day. Right. And that's how I started to think about this lean sensei and how does a lean sensei help a business and why is it so critical that leaders within an organization are learning under the facilitation and leadership and coaching and mentoring of a lean sensei.
And you think about these guys, right? So maybe they're working on 1/10 of one stroke. Mm-hmm. As a competitive advantage, and because you got to realize, and this goes for business as well, your competition is not standing still either.
Right, exactly.
So you got competition that are coaching, they're trying to get better, and if you maintain the status quo and say, I already know everything I need to know about my golf swing, well, then you're going to get surpassed sooner or later, probably more like sooner, okay? And it reminded me of something, Kevin, I've mentioned on other episodes in this podcast, and you reminded me of it when you said, hey, you know, people tell you that we already know everything we need to know. I remember my first trip to Japan in 1990 at Toyota. the facilitator of our group said, I asked the question, why can you allow all these, your competition, all your big auto company competitions into your factories? And the answer was, what they need to know, they cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, you cannot see, okay? And it's like, wow, there's a lot more there than meets the eye. You
right.
Know?
That's right. And these guys win and lose golf tournaments by inches. Right?
Yeah.
But what you don't see and what you cannot see with them is it's not about how they perform on Sunday afternoon. It's about all that they do in the dark, so to speak, when no one's watching.
Right.
The hours on the driving range, it's the hours on the putting green with their coaches, it's the hours in the bunker, you know, working on getting the sand saved, it's the hours of refining every single element of their game and getting feedback from someone that can objectively watch them and coach them and help them understand what's good, what's bad, what to do more, what to do less, what to think about differently, what to think about the same, you know, how to not only the explicit knowledge of how to swing the club, but also the tacit knowledge of how to think about it differently and how to approach the game and approach the swing and approach the shot in the right way. How to think about where does that ball need to go and how do I get it there? And that's what those coaches help those golfers with. And that's what a lean sensei can do in a lean transformation. Where should I go? How do I think about it differently? How do I improve safety just a little bit every day? How do I stop that one defect from happening? And how do I think about defects differently? How do I solve those problems and prevent them differently? And how do I improve my customer satisfaction, my customer delivery, and those processes? That's what a lean coach can do. But a lean coach could also say, hey, you know what? You probably shouldn't have thought about that way. Maybe we should think about it this way. Or why would we think about it this way? You can ask those questions that no one else will ask you because they're afraid to, or they haven't seen the experience, or they don't understand. So that's where a lean coach can really help you in a lean transformation, much like those coaches help those golfers in the middle of the night when no one's watching, how to think about that differently.
Well, you used a word in there called tacit, and you know, I think there's a lot of consultants out there today who are really looking at what I would call the explicit language of lean. Explicit knowledge is stuff that you can get out of a book,
mm-hmm.
watch a videotape, but mm-hmm. it's not the know-how, which is defined as tacit. Yeah. The tacit hands-on knowledge is what's really key. Now, one of the things I was just on the phone with a former colleague of mine, and we were talking about this, and we said, you know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is learning from all the mess-ups that you made in your life.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
You can't have wisdom when you're 25 years old. I'm sorry, you just can't. Okay? You haven't screwed up enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe you have. I don't know. Some people do a really good job early on that. But
yeah.
But you know, the tacit knowledge, and again, what we pride ourselves at Lean Horizons is we bring the hands-on know-how, but we don't do it for you. We teach you how to fish and give you the know-how to know how to ask the right questions and facilitate teams where they kind of self-actualize, you know? So the fact that you mentioned tacit is a real big deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm not saying that explicit needs to be subordinated and just forgotten about. You need both, right?
Yep.
But
yeah,
so many only do half the equation mm-hmm. and don't really know or have the experience to do the tacit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think too is it's short-sighted not to think that you can learn more, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, Scotty Scheffler has won, I don't know, 8 or 9 golf tournaments this year, number one ranking by far. But he doesn't stop learning, right? He doesn't say, well, I'm not going to spend the money on a golf coach because I don't need to learn anymore, right? He keeps learning to try to keep making his game better and better. And And he knows that he needs to get better every day, and his team around him needs to get better every day. And that's where I think this view of how do I learn that, and how do I invest in that, and invest in my team, and invest in my business, it really needs to be thought through before you say, well, we know what we need to know.
Well, I think the other thing a coach might for somebody like Scotty would be to keep me on the disciplined path
Yep,
and not
exactly.
lose and not fall back into any, bad habits or get into some kind of groove that's really tough
Sure.
to undo, So
Sure.
in addition to improving, it's to make sure that your daily management, that's what that would be in a
Yep,
factory, if you will,
exactly. Yep.
is there and that you're still maintaining your standards that you set.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really important point, is maintaining those standards and being able to check for those standards, and are they being maintained, and ask the question why, and be able to see and ask those questions if things look abnormal or look like those habits are reversing or retreating back to the way they were.
Yeah, but let me start this off by saying that the whole essence of this episode is to, why do you need a lean sensei? Okay. And, sensei meaning teacher, all right? That's Japanese for teacher, right? And in the 1999 article by Stephen Spears and Kevin Bowen, we still use this article in our boot camps called Decoding the DNA of the Toyota Production System. And Stephen Spears, a friend of mine, and I collaborate with him on his coursework, and he just wrote a book. So we collaborate back and forth on stuff. He's up at MIT. But this is one of the best articles I've ever read on this. And in this article, I won't go through them all, but the fourth of four rules that he has to really drive tacit knowledge within Toyota. Rule number four says this, Kevin: any improvement must be made in accordance with the scientific method. By the way, that could be a podcast in and of itself,
For
okay?
sure,
An
yes,
episode, I should say,
for sure.
under the guidance of a teacher at the lowest possible level in the organization, under the guidance of a teacher, okay?
Right.
And that's one of their four primary rules of developing this tacit knowledge capability within their company. Now, you have your five rules that you want to talk about. So go at it. Go right ahead. Rule one.
I think what I thought about was why companies need to engage in a sensei and what they do. So probably the first top thing is experience and expertise, right? A sensei like you or me or any of the other great senseis that are out there, right? They've been in a lot of places. They have deep knowledge of both the explicit tools and the tacit knowledge is required to lead a lean transformation, right? They have that knowledge, and they have proven results in these environments to show that and gain an understanding of all the things that you're going to see, but also importantly, and we mentioned it earlier, help us learn from the mistakes of our past, right? They've made more mistakes. I know I've made a lot of mistakes. But I learn from those, and with those mistakes comes being able to help guide companies in a way to avoid those mistakes or help avoid those mistakes as they go forward. So I think that experience and expertise is highly important in thinking about why I need a sensei.
Well, again, I think that's wisdom, right? When you can learn from your mistakes. Now, I have no wisdom simply because I've never made a mistake, Kevin. I just want to let you know that, okay?
Right.
Okay. So, okay.
Well,
Now, don't tell
okay,
my
just
wife
made me
that,
personal.
okay? but no, that's true. Okay, so that's super. And I think you can't learn from somebody who hasn't done it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So,
And I think the next thing I think about is having an objective perspective, right? We need someone with an unbiased view that's willing to and able to observe the current situation and observe the current practices and in an unbiased way provide direct, open, and honest feedback. And be able to say the emperor has no clothes if the emperor has no clothes, right? And feel safe to do that. And being able to then help coach how do we think about that differently. But also fresh insights is not so tied up in the day-to-day grind of trying to run a business that you can step back and have a different perspective to help look at the problem differently and help ask the questions differently and not be so mirror. Well, we've always done it this way, so we have to do it this way, or so and so, this is their pet project. So how can we not? We got to do their pet project and all those kinds of things that this unbiased, objective perspective can give us.
No, yep, exactly. I'm biased, and I had a client one time, and asked me if I had pipelining experience, and CEO asked me this, and I said, "Of course we have pipelining experience. Doesn't everybody?" And he laughed. I go, "I don't have pipelining. I don't have that, and I don't want to know as much as you know about your business, only because then I'll be you." I have to have a very different way to look at things in an objective way. So I can ask this one very simple, stupid question. Why? Why? Why do you do that? Why is that? Why is that? Those whys never get asked when you're so familiar with what is going on, because you sometimes then internalize the abnormal as normal. Where we're new, we come in with a fresh set of eyes. Maybe not because we're the most brilliant people in the world, but we're just asking questions like, "Yeah, I never saw that before," and we're just kind of curious as to why you do it that way, and just ask the questions, because you normalize waste after a while, you normalize rework, you normalize abnormalities that you think that's just the way it is, and people form jobs around these things. I'm the guy that comes in and does the touch up on the paint touch up. Well, why do you have scratches to begin with? I saw this in all kinds of different companies.
I just saw one here not too long ago and doing a value stream map, and 30% of the items had to be reworked, and they had built a complete rework line and automated conveyor to carry that product back and forth. And they did a great job of trying to do that, but they never asked the question of why do I have 30% failures?
They institutionalized it. They institutionalized the rework as just a normal thing that we do. So
And I
now
was
you
with
can ask the dumb questions. You can just say, "Well, why do you guys do
I was with the plant manager. He walked by that every single day. Every single day. Yeah, but he never asked that question and stopped to think about that question. So that's what that perspective can give you is
Yeah, the
it
objectivity, that's really good.
unbiased view, right? The next thing I think about is that a sensei can help you with is a systematic, structured way of implementing your transition, right? There's a process, right? Your business is made of thousands and thousands of processes, and we're going to work on transitioning these business processes, some that, and creating new processes that you may not have. But there's a method to the way that we need to think about that, and how do we prioritize safety, quality, delivery, and cost, and improve the business for our shareholders, our customers, and our employees. And there's a way to do that, a way of going about doing that from the ground up. And a sensei can help you do that and can help you through that process of training and coaching and teaching and how should I approach my business. And one of the things that I learned in my career was in running multiple facilities, and we were doing Kaizen and making great improvements in the facilities. What we missed was the link to those, right? And then how did those facilities link together so that the customer saw the benefit of all these improvements we were making? And I was with one of our senseis one day, And we were talking about this and how to transition this to customers. And he says, Kevin-san, you do not think about this in a systematic way. You thought about it from a factory way. And so I thought about that for a minute. And I was like, oh, we need to think about the whole network, not just a little piece. Well, that was a flip in the way we had been thinking about it. And that structure and process of that really is something that I think can help companies a lot as they think about their implementation process.
Excellent, excellent. You remember too, starting out, you alluded to this, but when you say, "I don't need to know, we know everything we need to know," you are perfectly engineered to get the results that you got.
You just stole my last line, but yeah, you're exactly right though. Companies are and people are perfectly engineered to get the results they've always gotten.
So great. That just means that great minds think alike, Kevin. That's all
Yeah,
that means.
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
Right. I have a to put that in a different sense. If you're thinking about, and we've all seen this, people that are trying to become more fit and all that stuff, but they don't change their habits, right? They don't think about it differently. They don't maybe go get a trainer to help them with working out or a dietitian to help them with their diet, or they don't do that. They just keep doing the same things over and over and over, and they're engineered to live that way, and then they don't make those improvements, right? So it applies to a lot of different things, but you're exactly right. You're engineered to get the results you've always gotten.
it's funny you said that though, because let's go back to your golf analogy. Okay. How many people go to the driving range to practice without a coach? Okay.
Yep.
So they're practicing the bad swing they have.
Yep,
And
exactly.
they're further ingraining that into muscle memory.
You're exactly right.
And they're usually only using the driver because they like to hit the ball far, which you only use maybe 10, 12 times in a golf game.
Yep,
Okay.
yeah.
And very rarely do you see people really putting time in on the green, which is where all the scoring goes on. And because a 3 foot putt is worth the same amount as a 300-yard drive, right? So,
Exactly.
now I'm at the driving range and I'm swinging, and once in a while I might get lucky and hit something correctly, but I'm consistently hitting it to the right, to the left, whatever it is, and all those reasons why, so even though I'm practicing and going through the motions of lean with all my Gemba boards and with all my yellow tape and everything else, it ain't getting better. How come? God, I bought the t-shirts that say my business system's names on my t-shirt, and I put the right posters up on the wall, but nothing's getting better. How come? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and those guys start with how they stretch, how they grip the club, every little element of that is studied over and over and over again with their
Yeah.
coaches.
Yeah, standard work.
The next area is around training and development. And I think that what the Lean Sensei can help you with is not only the explicit knowledge of, what is standard work and how to build takt time charts and how to build value stream maps. And there's a lot of documentation out there, and some good, some bad, but that explicit knowledge they can teach you. But we talked about before, so the mentorship and the tacit knowledge and the side-by-side coaching. And you and I have done this a lot, but it's walking around the factory and helping them learn to see differently. It's going to their daily production meetings or their staff meetings and talking to them and teaching them how to ask questions differently or how to document their processes. And so there's a lot of, tacit, non-explicit training that has to go on that the Lean Sensei can really help you with and help your organization with. And it's not only then about learning the hard skills, but teaching the soft skills that help you as you can continue to develop your team and move forward, that Lean Sensei can bring that you can't get it otherwise. And that I think is one of the most overlooked things that a sensei can do, and why, the short side of you, well, I just want to spend the money, we know what we need to know. why that's such false thinking in terms of trying to drive the business forward.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And did I steal your fifth one? Is that what the fifth one was?
No, you didn't say my fifth one, but what I think about when you think about all the reason why are you going through a lean transformation? Why do you even want to think about this? And why are you changing the way you do business, whether it's strategy deployment or how you develop products or how you run your factory? Why do you do all that, right? Because you want better business results, right? And having a lean sensei with the four things we've already talked about will help you deliver better business results in terms of safety, quality, delivery, and cost, a better return for your shareholders, better experience for your customers, and a more engaged workforce. But the Lean Sensei will help you achieve all those things in an accelerated, more streamlined, faster, stronger way. And that's where, the Lean Sensei to me, really the rubber hits the road, right? We want to get better business results. And a Lean Sensei can help you get those better business results.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And
You know, and again,
without
I think, okay, I think the notion though is the lean sensei needs to transfer this tacit knowledge and teach people how to fish.
Yep, exactly.
So
Yep.
that's sometimes missed. I see a
Yep.
lot of lean offices around the country and around the world where their jobs are going to do projects.
Yeah.
Okay, your job is to take change over time out of that particular, process, and they go out and they do it. Don't involve the operators. Don't
Yeah.
incorporate into daily management. And 2 months later, it's back to where it was, maybe sometimes worse.
Yeah.
And so they're not thinking about transferring as their product the knowledge, the tacit knowledge, yeah, explicit too, but the tacit knowledge so that you build capabilities within the company. That's the real key.
Yep. Building capabilities, and
Yep.
the Lean Sensei will help you build those capabilities. Not only what you can read about and see, but also the things that you cannot see, as you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right.
And even ask the question, why that machine right now, right? Where does that fit into your map, your value stream? Why do you need to attack that one now? And are you going to, you if you reduce setups, what does that mean? Does that mean you need to change over more? Why are you changing over more? And we all know those are really good things when done in the right way and towards a means to an end.
Well, does that mean we could do easy stuff too, like go out and do lean in the mailroom? How's that gonna be
We
customer?
can, but the reason, but a Lean Sensei would help you understand we need to focus on the things that are going to be the most important to drive our business results today, right? And the mailroom might be really important, but it's probably not a priority process that we need to focus on today.
I could just see us, you and me, going to Nikau and
Yeah.
saying, Nikau-san, we want to do a Kaizen in the mailroom.
Yeah.
The only question in my mind would be who he would kick first, you or me?
Yeah. Well, he's kicked me before, so he would probably kick me again. But I think that yeah, what people sometimes get into the point of doing Kaizen for Kaizen's sake and not doing Kaizen to drive business results. Right.
Right,
We're
right.
thinking about we're trying to improve safety, quality, delivery, and cost, and how do we do that, right? And what are the processes that we need to work on to help make that happen, right? It's not just to do Kaizen, which is all fun and good, but we need to be focused on the processes that are critical to us driving improvement in our business.
Awesome, awesome. Kevin, this is great. Final words?
Just I think that when you're thinking about do I entertain a sensei to help me, and how do I think about that, I think it's important to kind of step back and really think about it in the big picture and make sure that you're getting the expertise and the perspective and the teaching and the explicit and tacit knowledge that you need to go forward and really take a view and a hard look at what a sensei can give you. And we're happy to help if that makes sense. But it's a really important step to be successful, right? And I believe it's very short-sighted to not really think about and engage in a sensei to help you with your implementation.
Well, let's not forget that Shingo, Deming, Juran, Taiguchi, all these people had their hand in creating the Toyota production system. I mean, and others too. I may be missing a few, but they all had their hand in it. And Art Byrne, who just was on the podcast, and I'll have him on two more times. One of them is going to be talking about the early days of Danaher, which you and I were there. And also, he's going to talk about his new book that's coming out. But in his first book, The Lean Turnaround, he has a section in there, Kevin, that says a lot of the same things relative to what to look for from a lean coach or a lean consulting company, right? And he recommended a couple, three of them in there. We were one of them that he recommended, Lean Horizons. And but he talks about the same thing about a lean coach, what their roles are, and why would you bring one in? Right. And you're right. I've had a top lean guy from a major, major multi-billion dollar company, and I won't tell you who it is, said, we don't need to talk to Mark DeLuzio. We have all the knowledge right in our own company here. We don't need anybody from the outside. And that's so opposite of what Taishi Ono did when he crafted the Toyota production system. Matter of fact, he got the whole idea of a super. A lot of times we call it Kanban supermarket. He got that by visiting supermarkets here in the United States. Call one of them what he it was Piggly Wiggly, down south. Okay, the Piggly Wiggly supermarket. He saw those, and it inspired him to come up with this whole concept of pull and Kanban, and so here's a major manufacturer of automotives, who got a fundamental tool. Concept anyway, from a supermarket.
You need that for you need the perspective and the experience and guidance and everything to help your team. It's an accelerator and an enabler and helps you achieve better business results throughout the implementation.
Absolutely. Kevin, this is great. Hopefully this would be inspiring for some out there to listen and then ask yourself the question, does your sensei have the requisite knowledge and experience? And ask them to tell you about their mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
Good point.
and we all made mistakes, and so we know, through the hard way, because it's not obvious. Lean is not obvious. It's not everybody says, oh, lean is common sense. Well, if it is, why the heck are we in there working with you if it's such common sense? It's not common sense. When we were told you need to do more changeovers, you need to slow your machine down, you need to increase your on-time delivery to request date with less inventory. All this stuff was totally opposite. You need to reduce your batch sizes to one.
Yeah,
One
for
piece
sure.
flow.
For
Okay.
sure.
None of this made sense when you and I first learned it.
No, no,
Right. And it was like,
no.
no, this is screwed up, but if it wasn't for a lean sensei like Iwata, Nakao, Takanaka, Niwa and Nino, which is the first five that we worked with at Shingojitsu, the originals, it wouldn't happen.
Right, exactly.
Okay. It wouldn't happen. So,
Exactly.
keep an open mind and listen to your coaches, if you
Yeah,
get the right coach. So,
exactly. Exactly.
Kevin, this is really good. Nice job on
Thank
this.
you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think, are you a three-time member now of this podcast? I mean, you
Yeah,
did
for
two,
sure. Yeah,
you
third
did mixed
time.
model one, mixed model two, and now you're on this one.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
I'm going to have to probably start, I don't know. They're gonna start thinking this is a Kevin Mathis show or something.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
I'm
Yeah,
sure we're gonna have you on again and talk about a lot more stuff. So,
sure. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, really.
yeah,
There
there is. There is.
is.
No, Kevin, thanks a lot. I appreciate that from Muscatine, Iowa, where
Yeah,
you are.
yeah.
I'm sitting here in
Exactly.
Scottsdale, Arizona, a little bit warmer.
Nice. I
We're
don't
triple.
know. I don't know. It's pretty hot here today.
Oh, come on. How
It's
hot is it?
a summer solstice, so it should be the hottest day of the year,
How hot is it? Tell me.
right? It's like a balmy 90, 92, something like that.
Kevin, that's
It's
sweater
crazy.
weather for us in Scottsdale.
Really humid, though.
Okay.
Really humid,
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You don't know what heat is.
yeah. There you go.
We actually hit 112 the other day. So,
Oh,
but yeah,
yeah, we don't need that.
but like they say, it's a dry heat.
There you go.
Kevin Mathis, thanks a lot
Well,
from
thank
Muscatine,
you.
from the Arctic temperatures of Muscatine to from Mark DeLuzio, the tropics of
Yeah.
the U.S. So, thanks, Kevin. We'll see you next
Yeah,
time.
thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.